but a time. Yeah, this is tea time. Making a difference. One cup at a time. So be sure to grab your tea, grab a seat, and tune in to Miss Liz. Tea time, making a difference. One cup at a time. Tea time, yeah. Well, guys, it's that time again. Miss Liz is back, and it's evening tea time. So if you haven't subscribed to Miss Liz's YouTube channel, run on over, ring that little doorbell. We're going to get you subscribed to the YouTube channel, and you can check out all of these incredible tea times at any time during your exercises, during morning breakfast. You can watch Miss Liz at any time. So I have a returning guest coming back from season three. And you know how Miss Liz loves returning guests because I already know them. The ice is already broken. And we get to dig a little deeper into the tea. So we have Randy Lee Boeslav in the house. And she's going to be sharing a tea on tragedy, emotions, and acceptance. And her new books and all of that good stuff. And what she's been doing since season three. Because that was 2 years ago. So let's get the disclaimer, let's get Randy's bio, and then let's get Randy in here and let's spill a good cup of tea with all of you guys tonight. Disclaimer for Miss Liz's Tea Time Live Show. Miss Liz, myself, is going live using StreamYard. Before leaving a comment, please grant StreamYard permission to see your name at StreamYard.com. Please be advised that the content brought forward for any Tea Time show hosted by myself, Miss Liz, is always brought forward in good faith. However, may bring forth dialogues and opinions that are not representative of my platform. The facts and information are perceived to be accurate at the given time of airing. All Tea Time guests and audience participants are responsible for using their good judgment in taking any action that may relate to the discussion. The content brought forward may include discussions for some where they may be emotionally at risk. It is significant to know that this show is engaging in discussion forums only to offer and inspire awareness and connection and is not providing therapeutic advice. If you have any questions about the disclaimer or the panelist discussion, you may freely contact me, Miss Liz, through my email at bookingmissliz@gmail.com. Moving forward, should you choose to voluntarily participate in tonight's show in any aspect, I myself, Miss Liz, welcomes you. And should you decide that the show is not made for you at this time, I respect those wishes and we'll see you at a later show at a later date and time. And again, all tea times in 2024 are done on Thursday, 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you see one not on a Thursday, it's a surprise tea time or a returning guest. Miss Liz likes to do that sometimes as well, keep you guys on your toes. So now a little bit about Randy, and then I'm going to get Randy in here. I'm going to just read partially some of Randy's bio, and then I'm going to pick and choose from it while we're having our discussion tonight. So Randy Lee was born and raised in Ontario, Canada. And from a young age, she had a passion for helping others. She attended Niagara College and graduated at the top of her class from Community and Justice Services after completing her placement at a recovery house for alcohol and drug addictions. Post-graduation, she worked at a Native Friendship Center for 2.5 years while pursuing a university education in philosophy. I'm going to get her to fix that. Randy Lee continued working in social services for another 4 years as an employment counselor until she left to pursue her other passions. Randy Lee is an author and an outspoken advocate for mental health, sharing her true story with honesty. From the age of 14, she struggled with depressive thoughts that were times in her life that she wasn't sure how she would continue. Depression continued to be a battle in her life, but she is glad that she continued to live. She has spoken at events that promote wellness and compassionately shares her experiences with her own mental health. In 2021, she started a YouTube channel, Write or Die Show, to spread awareness about various mental health issues and to end the stigma associated with mental health. Growing up, she never felt like she fit in, being the last to understand jokes and confused about many emotions that she saw on others. In 2021, she finally had answers to the questions about herself that had been nagging at her. She's been diagnosed with moderate autism. Another of Randy Lee's passions is kickboxing, what she has been doing for about 10 years. She was a Canadian national champion in kickboxing in 2015, competed at the World Kickboxing Tournament later that year, and in 2016 competed at the Pan Am Games, where she received silver in her division. In 2020, she was chosen as one of the coaches for the Ontario Winter Games, where she's inspired to coach young athletes. Randy is a mom of two. Her youngest child has autism and a grandma to one. Randy encourages and supports her youngest child's entrepreneurial spirit as he follows his dream of being an artist. When she can, she incorporates his art into her stories. And she's got an amazing book. So let's get Randy in here. Yeah, I read her full bio because Randy's just incredible. And I miss Randy. It's been 2 years. So let me get Randy back in here.
Hi. Hello.
It's been forever. Like, I can't believe it's 2 years.
When you said 2 years, I was like, seriously? What? No.
The years are just flying by. Like, I'm telling you, I can't believe I'm already in season 5. Like,
that's pretty awesome.
It's crazy, right? So Randy, for everyone who hasn't seen the first show when you were on, I'd like to go back a little bit. So yeah. as a little girl, who were you? I know I shared a little bit in the bio, but let's let the audience know who you were as a little one and who you are now.
I think that who I am now and who I was as a little one is actually the same. There was definitely a period of time where I was not, but I feel like I've kind of went back to my fun younger self. So I was, like I said, pretty much the same as I am now. So quirky is a word I love to use to describe myself. Very creative. I love animals. I love everything to do with the outdoors. And just trying different things. That pretty much sums up me.
So Randy, it's been 2 years. So what has happened to you in 2 years?
Oh my goodness. I'm sure lots and nothing.
Lots and nothing.
let's see. I've published another book, I'm sure. I don't remember which one was the last one I talked to you about, to be quite honest.
One, I think we talked about Goodbye Too Soon.
Yes. So you are the first to hear this news.
I love when I'm the first.
Right? I just, as of last night, posted up a book that is now on pre-order. So I'm literally just starting to advertise for it. So you are the very first one. So exciting. And it is a kid's book this time.
Oh, look at that.
It is called Woofy Says Goodbye. Oh. And my kid actually did all the pictures for it. And they are phenomenal. I know I'm jaded because it's my kid. But honestly, they are phenomenal pictures for this book.
Hey, we need to get our kids involved.
Yes. I can't draw. So, I mean, I might as well get him to do it. I don't get like a mom discount either. So yeah, but yeah, so Woofy, he's this stuffed dog, and he goes home with different kids from a classroom. And so this is actually the second in the series. It's been in the works probably since I talked to you last.
Honestly, I remember now, Randy, you were saying you were working on a book when we wrapped up the first show.
Yeah, it was probably this one. It took my kid that long to finish the pictures for it. Because the book was written for a very long time, but the pictures, I mean, granted, the pictures do take way longer, like, seriously.
Yeah.
But yeah, now it's on Amazon. You can order it. It comes out officially August 11th. So yeah, you get the real tea on that one.
I like it. See, I get the real tea, guys. I get the first dibs.
Yes. But what else has happened in 2 years? Well, my kid got his license. Scary. Yeah.
Ooh. That is a scary thing, right? When your kids get license.
Yep. My grandson has started kindergarten. My kid that got his license, he's also graduating this year, and he's going to go to college next year. Ooh. Also scary. Those are all the fun. Oh, I don't know if at the time I talked to you, we had the puppy yet or not, but we got a puppy.
I think you had just gotten the puppy.
I might have just got him because we've had him about 2-ish years. So I couldn't remember if it was before or after I talked to you. I remember something
about a puppy. Yeah, I think you were either getting a puppy or you had just gotten him.
Yeah, probably in and around that time. But he is ginormous now. I mean, he's still a puppy because he's only 2, but he's 90 pounds. He's a big boy.
Oh, my goodness. What kind of puppy?
He's mostly shepherd with a little bit husky.
Oh, yes, I remember. I think you were getting him.
Probably. Yeah, because we got him at Christmas 2 years ago. So it was probably just after we spilled the tea.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. See what happens in 2 years? Like,
right? Oodles of things.
Well, I am so happy that you got a children's book because you have so many books out there, Randy. When I was just like, when I went and checked again, because I always do my homework to see what else I can find, all the goodies, right? And I'm holy cow, man. But I noticed something about your books. You have a theme about draw your story in many of your books.
Yes. So that's kind of my new favorite thing right now. Woofy is not that kind, but it's my new favorite thing right now. I feel like when I was little, because I'm so creative, and with my kid, drawing the, like, having the words there and just being able to draw your picture along with it is just, it's fun. It's more interactive, gets the kids really excited to read the story because the story isn't just a story anymore. It's theirs now because they're making the picture.
I noticed that because when I went and looked at your books, I was like, draw a story. Draw your story. And I was like, I see a theme here. There's a lot of work you got to do. You got to get the, but we talked about this because I was just coming out with my books. I was working on my books and you were telling me that having the blank spots so people can write in the books.
Yes.
Yeah. So have you done that in your books?
Yes. So it's called, there's one that has that. And my cat is being just a little pain. Come here. So the one that it has that, it's called Bun Bun and I. So it's about a bunny rabbit. It's called Bun Bun because when I was little, I had a stuffed rabbit that I named Bun Bun. So the one side has a picture of Bun Bun doing whatever it is. So it might be like, I live in a burrow. And it has a picture of Bun Bun in his little burrow. And then the other side says, I live in a, and has a blank space so the kid can put their thing and draw a picture of where they live.
Oh, that is so cool. So
how I want to do another one of those. Children's books? Let's see. I have, okay, so Christmas book, Bun Bun, the 2 sound books, first Woofy book, Neo, 6, and then this brand new one. So it'll be 7.
7 children's books. Look at that. I got to get these books, man. I'm telling you. I have my own library here now of all the individual guests that I've had on that I can actually say, I know them, and I want to have their books.
I love that. I know when people send me their books, when I do the book reviews, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel so special. Especially when it's like an advanced copy of a book. I'm like, I feel so extra, extra special.
Right? Well, you have that personal connection with the story. Like when you read it, you're like, I know that person. Like,
right.
So cool. You know, it's cool. So I want to get into your tea, Randy. Your tea was tragedy, emotion, and acceptance. So tell me why you gave me those.
Well, when you told me that I needed to pick some words, I was like, obviously I can't pick the same words. That's just silly. And right now, I mean, throughout my life, there's been a lot of different tragedies, a lot of different ups and downs. And so that made sense to say tragedy. Emotion goes with tragedy. So that was an easy one. And then in order to get kind of through life and not be stuck in the past of that tragedy, I had to gain some kind of acceptance around these things. So they all kind of flow together.
Well, and it kind of tells your story, right? It's your personal story. You had tragedy and, you know, the emotions were there. You understanding them, right? And the acceptance. I want to get into the story, your personal story, Randy, of finding out that you had autism. How did that change your life?
Yeah. So the biggest change was really just everything made sense. It was like a light bulb going, oh, wow, that's why that was happened. Or that's why sometimes I don't understand things. Like, it was just made things make sense as opposed to always feeling like, what is wrong with me? It was like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I just have a different thinking brain. It's fine. So that was the biggest difference. And then it was just nice to have that confirmation again that I wasn't just a giant weirdo, and bringing that understanding. And then from that understanding, I mean, my husband's like, yep, that all checks out. That makes sense.
check.
Right. And even my kid was like, well, see, I'm always just like you. I'm like, you are just like me. And that, you know, the autism is right on track for you.
Well, for all the listeners out there, Randy, that are on the autism spectrum, what message would you like to give to them because of your journey?
Yeah, I think what I was just saying, you know, it doesn't change who you are. You're not a weirdo. You are just you. You think a little bit differently, and that's totally fine. And oftentimes way better than traditional thinking. Think outside the bubble, not just the box, the whole bubble.
We talked about this afternoon with Victoria. We need to get out of the box, right? Mm-hmm. And we need to get out of the cup. We need to get on the saucer. We got to get a mess, right? We got to get a real big old mess going in order to make the difference in our lives, you know, and seeing things differently. And that's okay. But growing up, it must have been frustrating for you, Randy.
Yeah. So growing up, I was really thought I was the weirdo. Like I people would say things and I'd be like, I don't understand what the heck you're saying, but yeah, sure. Okay. Uh-huh. The subtleties of what they would say just didn't make sense. It needs to be very straightforward. Don't try to beat around the bush. Just tell me. Or they would say jokes or listen to music on the radio and be like, oh my goodness, they're talking about whatever. And I'd be like, really? Because I thought it was just like driving a car. Like, I don't know what you're saying here. What do you mean? There's an innuendo. And then even just looking at, especially in high school, more where people are starting to, you know, you have your emotions going crazy because you have your hormones going crazy, trying to figure out who you are, trying to fit into society. And I just didn't feel like I fit in with all these people going, oh, I want to go on dates. And I'm like, okay, can I stay home and play with my Barbies? Like, just, I still had all my Barbies.
Like fun to me.
Right? I just, what I considered fun, what others considered fun, wasn't necessarily always the same. And I'm like, hey, but how am I the only one thinking this way when all these other people are, you know, wanting to do going out and all that? And I'm like, I just want to stay in. So it was tough to try and find my place in the world, try to figure out where I fit in. And oftentimes especially with females with autism, this is not that men can't, but it's more seen in females with autism, is we try to just mimic the social cues. So not necessarily understand why we are doing those things, but just go, okay, I'm going to mirror what I see here because I want to fit in. And so that's what I did. I would mirror what other people were doing just to try and fit in. And I look back and go, where the heck was I? I was saying at the beginning of the show, the me as a little girl and the me as now, similar. The me as a teenager, I don't know who the heck that person was because they want me.
Well, that's what we do, right, with society, because when we don't feel like we fit in, we try to just mirror what they expect us to do, right?
Exactly. And it's very hard emotionally to do that because it's soul crushing. Yeah.
It is.
Because then again, you've lost your entire identity, and then trying to dig yourself back out and figure out who the heck you are afterwards, it's a struggle.
So how did you find out that in your teenage years that you were mimicking, that you were mirroring? Was something telling you like, I don't want to really do this, but I'm going to do it because I got to fit in?
Yeah. So I don't think it was on a conscious level per se. at least not all the time. There's definitely sometimes I can remember going, oh, okay, well, if that's what we're doing, I guess that's what we're doing and I'll go do it. But I think a lot of it was now that I look back and I go, huh, yeah, that was definitely done just because other people were doing it. Like, yeah, it's, I don't even know how to explain it because it's not like I'm looking at somebody going, okay, they're laughing, so I need to laugh now, right? It's not as conscious as that. It's like, okay, I know I want to fit in. I feel really awkward right now. This is really strange. Everybody is laughing at this joke that I have no idea what's happening, but so funny, right? So it's more of a subconscious kind of, I'm just going to do it to fit in, but not necessarily totally conscious. Yeah. So, if Randy, that makes any kind of sense.
So Randy, we have a question here. Did you feel like you were peer pressured into doing things?
The strange thing is I don't feel like it was peer pressure necessarily. I feel like peer pressure, there has to be at the beginning from me, there would have to be more of a like a no, I don't want to, and then somebody saying, are you sure? Are you sure? Come on. That to me is what I identify as peer pressure. And in the instances where it did seem like somebody was going to, like when people were passing around drugs and I was like, nope, people didn't go, oh, come on, come on. That wasn't really a thing. But in these social settings, I think it wasn't so much as peer pressure as fear pressure. I just came up with that. I'm going to write a poem with that. It was much more like a fear pressure, like a fear of being made fun of because I had been picked on before and I didn't want that anymore. So I think it was more of a fear response of, okay, I know that if I do what I want to do, people are going to laugh at me. But if I just do what you guys are doing, you'll accept me. So I'm not sure if anybody else around me knew that I was just mirroring them. So I would say it wasn't so much the peer pressure as all inside my head and more of a fear.
Wow. I like that. I like that my guests come up with these things because you guys make me think too, right? You know,
yeah, that's what we're here for.
It's not peer pressure, it's fear of pressure, you know, yep. Fear of being judged, fear of being left out, not being seen, not being heard.
Exactly.
I like it. Fear pressure. So for all the listeners out there, we got some fear pressure going on, you know.
Yes. Use that lingo, guys.
Right. And Randy's going to write a poem. So when she comes on the next time, we'll hear the poem of fear pressure.
There you go. Yep.
So Randy, the last time you were on, we also talked about the Embrace book, Embrace Me.
Yes. Yeah. So that one came out before Goodbye Too Soon. And that one it's a pretty pivotal book. It was a pretty pivotal time in my life. So it's a nonfiction. It is about my struggle with depression and how I had to understand what depression meant in my life. So for me, you know, I was depressed right from like being a teenager and sucks. If anybody's been depressed, you know that. But the problem is, again, that fear pressure, I'm just going to keep coming back to that. I love it. Of I am broken. Something is wrong with me because I feel depressed, because I feel like hurting myself. That kind of fear pressure of not wanting other people to know about it plays so heavily a role in deciding whether or not to go and get help. Because by going and getting help, you're admitting that something is wrong. If something is wrong, then you're broken. And you're broken, then you're useless. And it's this awful cycle that you go through. And so that book goes through accepting that, yeah, okay, I have depression, but I'm still pretty stinking awesome. But more to help other people understand that if they have a mental health that they're struggling with, it doesn't change that they are an awesome, amazing person who they are. It just means that they have this other thing that is a part of them, but it doesn't define who they are. And so there's chapters that are about self-care. There's chapters about medicating. There's chapters about therapy. It's all about do what works for you. Here are the things that worked for me. Maybe they'll work for you, maybe not. And there are in the back of the book, in the appendix, there's coordinating activities or suggestions in the back for each chapter.
Yeah, because I remember us being really into the Embrace Me book because of depression, right? Yeah, you were diagnosed at a young age as well, right? At 14, I believe.
So I wasn't officially diagnosed because we didn't talk about it. So we didn't
go. Oh, yes. It. That's right. Yes.
Yes. But looking back, when I talk to my therapist now, we talk backwards into the past. It would be about 14 that it all started.
So, Randy, what's your depression in that? When did you realize that you needed to seek professional help for that?
I would have been in my mid-20s. And there was a moment that I was at work and I just had a complete and utter breakdown. There was so much going on with the kids. Lev was just getting diagnosed with autism and having some pretty severe meltdowns. Work was just insane. I was in social services at the time. And so I would have clients trying to come in and say, oh, I can't look for work because the one person that really did it, because my kid has autism, so I can't look for work. And I'm like, really? Because I'm sitting here, right? Like, it's whoo. So I remember this one day I was at work and I started crying. And I was talking to my one coworker. She's like, come in my office, sit down. I'm crying. I'm going, I want to just drive off a bridge right now. And where I worked, there was a lot of bridges nearby. Like, it wasn't like I had to go too far. I could drive around the corner and there'd be a bridge. Go to the next corner, there's another bridge. And so that was my plan. I made a plan. I'm just going to drive off the bridge and that'll be it. And in that moment, I was like, well, crap. I need to go talk to somebody because this is not good.
Well, and that's the thing, right? Acknowledging that we need help. And it's okay to ask for help, you know?
Yes.
That's one of the biggest things is people that are diagnosed with mental illness or somebody who knows somebody with mental illness, it's okay for us to ask for help. It's okay for us to reach out. And like I said to Victoria this afternoon is when I say I'm okay, I'm not okay. We're so comfortable in society saying I'm okay, it's fine. And no one is digging deeper and saying, oh, she's saying okay, but she's not okay.
So when I was talking to my therapist way back when, and the question, how are you today? Oh, I'm fine. She would look at me and she would go, fine is not an emotion. What are you talking about? Sure. Nope. Fine is not an emotion. So how are you today? And I'd be like, I don't have another word because that's the word I always use. And it's true. It's the word that we use to just kind of bypass the question. So because for the most part, is that person actually wanting the answer of how you're doing today? And so I've actually put this challenge out on my YouTube channel last week or the week before, something like that. And I said, it's twofold. One, if you ask somebody, how are you today? Be actually wanting to hear the answer and listen, because the answer might not just be fine or okay. And the second fold of that is if you are asked the question, how are you today? Give them an honest answer. That is mind-blowing and game-changing and it's pretty big.
Right? It is mind-blowing when we have to be transparent and be honest with ourselves and say, you know what? I feel like crap today. You know, and when I tell people how I'm actually feeling, Randy, they kind of sit back and say, ooh, I was expecting an okay from her or I'm fine. Oh, now I got to get in this uncomfortable conversation because she's really not fine. She's really like losing it, you know?
Yeah.
But I think we would really break the stigma on mental illness and health if we started just being transparent and saying, you know what? It's a crappy day. Like we're just having a shit day. Right?
Yeah. We're allowed to have bad days. Like we're allowed to have them. You don't have to hide it. Now, the problem is a lot of times I think that we realize people don't actually want the answer. Like they're just saying it to be polite, but they're not wanting the answer. And I mean, so in those cases, what I started doing around the time I started therapy about 10 years ago or so, I started when people would ask me at work, I go, do you really want the answer? And I'd give them the option to opt out or to be willing to hear the true answer.
And I think that's what we need to do, right? We have a couple comments that are coming in from Instagram. I can't get them on into the studio here, but I just want to read them out. And I want to thank this amazing girl, because she's going through a hard time right now. And I know that she's not okay. She might say she's okay, but I know she's not. So I just want to read out the comments to you, Randy, what she's saying. I do what I can to reach out. It's not always easy, though. And I tell people I'm okay as I can be.
That's a good one too. I'm as okay as I can be.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think the word okay should be taken away from vocabulary with mental illness. Like, I think
again, it's not an emotion. Fine and okay is not an emotion.
Right? We need to start opening up about our emotions. We need to start expressing how we're feeling.
Yeah. It can be so hard, though. I think we take for granted that we just know how to identify our emotions. I think it's taken for granted. But when I was talking to my therapist, you know what emotions I could identify? Happy, sad, angry. That's it, right? Like, that is not our array of emotions, right? We have, even on the scale of happiness, there's just like, happy or pleasant, happy, joyful, ecstatic, exuberant, right? There's a reason that we have these other words, because they mean that I'm more happy than this one. I am, you know, if I'm exuberant, I am past happy. Like, I am way up there. I am living on cloud nine. And that's the same with anger. There's like annoyed, perturbed, angry, pissed off, right? Like it increases. And that's something that my therapist, she actually gave me. It was not so much a chart, it was like a circle, so that the lines could grow with whatever the emotion was. And so when I would go in and she would say, well, no, you can't say fine, because I kept trying to say it, I would actually pull this sheet out and I would look and be able to say, okay, you know what, fine, today I am annoyed and I am a little bit happy, but I'm also kind of guilty feeling, like whatever. I'd pick out whatever it was there, instead of just saying I'm fine, because she didn't let me get away with that.
Well, it's like all these emojis, right, that they have online. There's so many different faces, and a lot of faces, no one understands them, like the sideways face, and you know, like the smiley face with a tear coming down. We haven't been taught our emotions. We go to the main ones: anger, sadness, happy. But there's so many different words and so many different emotions that are connected with happy, sad, you know, anger. We have so many things that we haven't even touched on. So when you're writing your books, Randy, because I know you do this, draw your own story. Like, come on, that's like bringing out the words. Draw how you feel. So what do you usually draw? Because I know you do some drawing.
Yes. So actually that bunny book I was telling you about, I illustrated the rabbits in that book. I tend to like to draw animals when I'm drawing. People is not my forte. I draw a lot, though. Like, if I'm just drawing for the sake of drawing, not for one of my books, if I'm just drawing, doodling, let's say, I like to doodle flowers and stars and hearts. That's kind of my go-to doodle.
Oh, I like that. And I like that word doodle. You know, right? We don't even say that enough, doodle. What are you doing? Yeah. I'm doodling.
that's actually my kid's nickname. I started when he was really little. I used to call him Dude all the time. And then he got into art more and more. So now his nickname's Doodle.
I love it.
Or Doodlebug, depending on my mood. But
I think it's cute, right? We have to have these cute little pet names for our children. So you're also a grandma.
It shows me love. I am. Right?
And I can't believe, like, when we first talked, I think my granddaughter was one. She's three now. Your little one is four, right?
Yes. Yep.
See, time flies. So how does it feel to be a grandma?
I love it. I was talking to the girls at my office job, and I said to them, Because there are including myself, there's three of us that are grandparents. And we all agree that being a grandparent is amazing, as I'm sure you know. And yes. So I said to the other girls, the younger ones in their early 20s, who are the ones like, no, I'm not having kids. The other one's like, I don't know if I will one day. I said, you know what? Skip having kids. Go straight to being a grandma. It's the best. They're right? Like, well, how am I going to do that? I said, so you find an adult, because you can adopt adults, at least in Canada, you can adopt an adult child. So you find one that doesn't have grandparents, like maybe they've lost both their parents or even one of their parents. So they know that their child isn't going to have grandparents. So you just insert yourself in their life.
Right.
Adopt them and become a grandparent, and you get to bypass all of the hard parenting part.
There's just a different feel from parenting to grandparenting. You know, you do crazy things with your grandkids that you would have never done with your own kids. And I don't know why we do that, but that's just the way it is.
Because we get to send them home after.
Oh, I think that might be it.
Yeah. Like Lev, my kid, whenever my grandson's over, you know, he's totally spoiled rotten, like completely. You pretty much, there's very few times that Grammy will say no, but Lev will look at me and be like, you wouldn't let me do that. Stop spoiling him. Stop giving him everything. I'm like, here's the difference. I don't have to parent him. I get to grandma him. I'm like, what happens when you're out with Nanny? How many times does Nanny say no to you? Well, she doesn't. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. My daughter says that all the time. You never did that with me. And I was like, well, I don't know what to tell you. She's special.
Yeah, that's
you're special what your too. But I mean, there's just a different feel when you see your children having children. There's just that magical feel, right? Kara, I do see your comments in here now. And Kara came back with the comments.
A different kind of love. It's a different kind of love.
Right? It's different. It's not that we don't love our kids. It's just a special love with grandparents. Kara said her kids' nicknames are Porky and Nugget.
Oh, I like that. That's awesome. That's so cute.
You know, and this is how we create children's books, right? Is when we have all of these cute little pet names for our kids. Exactly. You know, it's just magical. I want to get into some of the other books that you've done, because you've got so many of them. So we talked about Embracing Me. We talked about Draw Your Own Stories. You have the Diamond the Cat. That one I kind of want to know about. What's with Diamond the Cat?
Diamond the Cat. All right. Diamond the Cat is based on a cat that I had for 19 years. She was my baby. I actually got my kid to draw a cartoon version of her that is now a tattoo on my arm because I miss her. So to immortalize her, I wrote a kid's book called Diamond the Cat, and it is for like the little kids in our lives. It's very short. It's all rhyming. So it's like, my name is Diamond. I am a cat. I love to lay on my mat. And then there'll be a picture of Diamond laying on her mat. And it goes through all the things. I mean, most cats will do these things, but all the things that Diamond always did, because she was, like I said, I had her for 19 years. She was 100% my baby. I drew the pictures for that one, so they're not as good as the Woofy pictures. But I had a lot of fun drawing these pictures. And yeah, it just goes through. And then at the very last page, the end page, I did a collage of all the real life pictures of her, so you can actually see her.
Oh, wow. Oh, that I'm putting a star beside that one. That's going to be the one I'm going to order. I like story time with my granddaughter, and I'm just like, oh, I need to know all these cute little books.
And that's the perfect age group for her.
Awesome. So, Randy, you also have a book called The Journal. So
I have a couple different journals. I have some journals that are just like just straight up line paper journals that the front covers are just pretty because they're artsy. But I have a couple of self-care journals. So there's three self-care journals. One is for a whole year. It's called Be Selfish. And I did that one because I could never find a self-care journal that incorporated all of the different things I wanted in it. Because I like to do lots of different things. So it has it goes through seven different sections. So there's seven different things. So there are exercises, because I'm also a personal trainer. So I made little quick little 15 minute exercises you could do, recipes. There are word puzzles. There's journaling activities in it and other stuff I can't think of off the top of my head. But so there's seven different sections, 52 things in each section. So it's literally, you could be like, you know, every Monday I'm going to try a different recipe, and every Tuesday that's when I'm going to go and do the word puzzles, whatever it is. So that there's that one. And then there's one that's called Affirm Your Day. So that's for a month. There's 30 affirmations, and then you journal about how that affirmation made you feel or think. And then the other one is called, off the top of my head, I'm having trouble, but there is one more that is, it gives you a journaling question to think about and journal to.
So, Randy, how many books do you have in total?
I have not counted in a while. A whole bunch. Say like 15?
Well, I'm sure if anybody goes over to Randy's Author Central page on Amazon, you'll see the whole list of books.
Exactly.
Like when I went and looked last night, Randy, I was like, oh, wow, wow. Oh, there's more. Oh, okay.
It kind of just keeps going on and on because I love writing so much that I just have to keep doing them. Like, so I was telling you how Woofy is the one I'm promoting right now. As that one was being finished, I mean, granted, I had finished writing it already last year. So I was just working on getting my kid to finish the art. So I've already started two other books.
See, it's nonstop. See, when you come back on Tea Time again there, Randy, you'll have another two books out, right?
Right, definitely.
So, Randy, I want to get into, you mentioned the exercise. I want to get into the kickboxing, because we don't talk about kickboxing much in today's world. So what got you into kickboxing?
So it's actually a super funny story. When Lev was five, we put him in jiu-jitsu. During his class, there was this cardio kickbox class that was going on in the far corner. And I said to my husband, the one day, I said, those ladies have really nice butts. I want a really nice butt. So I joined the class. Turns out that they were also runners. So to get that really nice butt, I had to run. And I just wasn't doing that. But because I joined the cardio kickboxing class, I decided that it was so much fun. So then I started doing the regular kickboxing class. And I was like, this is so much fun. And so I was talking to my coaches, and then I started competing. And so I have competed. I have a giant belt. I have some medals. I have also coached other people. So it's been fun. I've kind of on a hiatus at the moment because my body about 2 years ago now decided standing was not a thing we were going to do anymore. So I'm on a little bit of a hiatus, although the last little bit, I've found a few things that are working to help with the pain relief. So it's getting a little bit better. We'll see how that goes. We'll keep an eye on it.
I think it's pretty cool. And I'm like you. I don't do the running. I'll do the walking. I'll do anything else. But if I'm running, you better be running too.
That's my husband's. That whenever we see somebody running, we're like, okay, what are they running from?
Right?
I actually, when I was competing in kickboxing, because you have to maintain your weight and you have to maintain like a certain cardio level in order to really do well, I started running. But where I live really close to a canal, and it's super pretty in the summer. So in the summertime, I had no problem going out and I'd run around the canal because it was really pretty. I wouldn't do it in the cold. Not a chance. And if I didn't live close to the water where it was pretty, I don't think I would either.
Well, water has been in your life, because I had your dad on Tea Time.
Oh yeah,
and your dad's on an island. Is he not?
That's not mine. Nope.
Oh well, then okay, I got the wrong kid here.
Yep, you do.
Because you're from Northern Ontario, correct?
Southern Ontario.
Southern Ontario. Okay, so it's the northern girl I'm looking for. So wherever you're hiding.
No, I'm from the south. I'm super close to the border, actually. Like, we're probably about 20 minutes away from the Buffalo border. And about 2 months ago now, we went across because your guys' cereal is so much better than our cereal. And I needed some.
Well, they have all the sugary cereals, right? They don't have all of that over here. Like, you know, yeah. I like to go across too and get some of the stuff because they have some really goodies over there. Like,
right? Peanut butter Cheerios.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Look for the next time you go across, peanut butter Cheerios.
Oh, wow.
My favorite. So what I did, I bought three different kinds of really delicious. I bought peanut butter Cheerios, peanut butter Chex, which we used to have here, but we don't anymore, and chocolate Rice Krispies. And they would be my weekend treat cereal so that I didn't eat them all up at once.
Wow. Yeah. I was a Fruity Pebble girl. Like when Fruity Pebbles came back to Canada, because they took it away for a while, right? Mm-hmm. I was like buying boxes and boxes and boxes. And I like Rice Krispies, but I like Fruity Pebble Krispies more than Rice Krispies, right?
The cocoa pebbles for me.
Oh yeah. Those make good cocoa bars, like cereal bars. Oh my goodness.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna pop up this comment that we have over here. Kara said that she's might look into your journal books.
Oh, awesome.
So yes, which one would you recommend for her?
Honestly, my favorite one would be the Be Selfish one, the one with the 365 days worth of things. But it depends on what you're looking for. If you like doing different stuff there. Oh, yeah, there's coloring pages in it, too. Or if you're looking for something that's more focused on journaling, then one of the other ones would be better.
So in the last time you were on, Randy, we talked about the book. What book did we? Goodbye Too Soon. That was about your brother, correct?
Yes. Yeah. So my brother died by drug overdose. It'll be 3 years ago this coming May. And so that book was written from family, right? Because sister to other people's families. So it describes not only us planning his funeral, like getting the news and planning his funeral and saying goodbye to him, but it also has a huge theme of forgiveness for the person with an addiction and forgiveness to ourselves for not being able to help them and setting boundaries with that person. And it goes through the diagnostical criteria from the DSM-5 for how to be diagnosed with an addiction, because it is a mental illness. And we need to talk about that more in that terminology of it being an illness, not being, oh, you're an addict. So that book, yeah, it's really written to family members of people that have an addiction.
Well, and I think it's really important that we get that message out there, right? Because a lot of people are just like, oh, well, you're just an addict. You know, there is mental illness attached to it. You know, not everybody becomes an addict because of the different chemicals and imbalance and all that. So, So with that book, Randy, you really put your heart and soul into that one. I remember talking about that when we were on the last time. How has that book changed your life?
So I think during the writing process, what really happened during the writing process for that book, it was that I was releasing a lot of the anger that I had towards my brother. Because even though I know in my head, he didn't wake up and go, you know, it'd be great if I overdosed today. Like, that wasn't what he was doing. And bringing in more understanding of the mental illness aspect, even though, again, I had done, I actually did my co-op for college in a drug and alcohol recovery house. So I did have some background there. And I've done psychology courses, and I've talked to tons of different people that have addictions. It's still different when you lose somebody close to you. Like, when he died, we weren't close at that time, but I mean, that was my brother. So no matter how far apart separated we were by the time he died, I still have so many memories of us being very close. And when that happens, that person dies. It's a whole array of other emotions. Like what you know in your head means nothing in that moment. What you're feeling is what completely takes over. So writing that book helped me to take away the, not take away, but minimize the emotional part and bring in more of the understanding that then helped with the emotional side. So it was really cathartic, very healing with that book. And what I've loved now that it's been out there, I've talked about it with a bunch of people and it's out there and people are reading it, is that the comments I am getting from those who have read it saying, I cried while I read this book, or it really helped me. Those are things that mean so much to me, because I really wanted to be able to help other people who are going through something similar, because it is really hard.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. We're not even touching the iceberg of mental illness and health.
No.
So how do you feel about that, Randy? Because you and I both know they're not even touching the iceberg.
Yeah, so I like that, the iceberg, because as we all know, icebergs, you see the tiny little bit and everything's hidden away. That is the best analogy I think I've ever heard for describing mental illness. And I've started to try and change my terminology to say mental illness as opposed to mental health, because when we hear the word health, we think positively. And when we hear the word illness, we think, I don't want to say negatively, but we understand something is wrong. And so I'm trying to consciously for myself and in my conversations with others say mental illness, so that there's this understanding that there is a problem. Just like, and my husband always likes to say, just like his diabetes. So he's type 1 diabetic. He has to take insulin. And he equates a lot of mental illness to being very similar, where it's something you have to live with and you have to learn how to deal with it, whether it's through medication or therapy. For him, obviously, it's insulin. And so for me, I take antidepressants and therapy. So it's kind of, you know, more than one thing that I need, but it's the same concept. It's an illness that I have to manage, just as his, I was about to say his insulin, but his diabetes is an illness he has to manage. So I think when we start talking about it in a way that incorporates it, the way that we talk about our physical health and our physical illnesses, then we will be finally making progress. Cause yeah, we're just scratching the surface. And the other thing with the scratching the surface is, yeah, I feel like a lot of people tend to think of our time on this earth as, hey, we are so advanced now. Cause when you think back 100 years, they didn't have, so we are so advanced, but in the grand scheme of mental illness, we are just in the early ages of it. I've been doing a lot of research on the history of different mental illnesses, cause I want to start making some episodes for that. And it really is in the early stages of getting to know some of these illnesses. So when we also think about it in that context, that we are still babies with understanding how the brain works, it makes sense why we are only touching the tip of the iceberg. And yet we need to understand that there is so much more iceberg and so much more mental health that we need to talk about.
Yeah. And we need to stop being scared of it. You know, we live in society where it's scared to talk about what's under the iceberg. You know, oh, no, if you just take your antidepressant, or you just do your exercise, or you just do this, or you just, right? And, yeah. And we talked about the word just this afternoon with Victoria. And, you know, the just is blocking us from freedom of being ourselves, freedom of coming out of that box and loving ourselves, right? So I don't know, the universe does all this divine magic work for me, brings my two guests together that understand that we're just touching that iceberg. And maybe that's the message that we need to start putting out there, is let's look what's under, you know, let's stop talking about the top. It's just like success stories, right? When you hear, oh, you're an author, you're a speaker, you're this, right? Everybody's like, oh, congratulations. But they don't see that iceberg underneath, where your late nights, stressed out, health conditions, you know, those are the things people don't understand in that. But I want to wrap up on a positive note here, Randy. You gave me a couple of cute words here, and your favorite color is purple, and you gave me quirky for your word to describe yourself. So let's wrap up with the purple and quirky, and then if anybody would like to find you, where they can find you.
Sure. So my favorite color is purple. That's my background. Quirky is definitely my word to describe myself. I think I used it at the beginning of the show too, because I am full on embracing the quirkiness that is me. I used to say I'm crazy, but that has some really bad connotations with it. So I started saying quirky, which I like better. It's more fun to say too.
But try to say a cute word without not laughing or giggling, right?
Right. It's great. I love it. So quirky. Me. And so you can find me on my website, it's rbwriting.ca. I'm on YouTube at The Write or Die Show, Facebook about RB Writing, and on Instagram and TikTok, I am at Randy Lee Boeslaw. And of course, Amazon, Randy Lee Boeslaw.
So before we wrap up, Randy, I want to get into a little bit about that show, because you talk about mental health on your platform on the YouTube channel, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So if anybody wants to know more about that, can they just go over and subscribe, like jump over there and subscribe?
For sure. Definitely subscribe to Miss Liz T if you haven't, and then jump on over to the Write or Die Show and yes, subscribe there. The show is all about mental health. I shouldn't say all about mental health, mental illness. Because I also talk about learning disabilities at times and different neurodiversities, because I have autism, my kid has autism, so they can come on, but that doesn't technically qualify as a mental illness. It is actually a developmental disability. But I take some liberties because it's my show. But so it's all right, about.
I'm the boss. I can have what I want. That's right. That's what I say. I can have whoever I want on my show.
Right, exactly. So it's 95% mental illness and then the sprinkling of neurodiversities. So I talked to other writers across the world. Most of them are straight up authors, but I have had some that are character writers, blog writers. So to me, I always say, if you've written something, come on down. And again, because it's my show, I can decide who I choose. I've had an actor come on my show just because I thought it was cool. But he has actually, since coming on my show, written a book. So he's an author now as well. But yeah, so it's Write or Die Show. You can find it on YouTube. You can find it also on any of the podcast platforms. But honestly, YouTube is the most fun to watch it on, because I've been told I have some very fun facial expressions. So
you do. I have watched a couple of your episodes and I'm like, just like, you can.
That's why, because I'm quirky.
Like if somebody's telling me something and I don't believe it, and I'm just like, what the heck is that? Right? Like the face gives it away. You can't hide it.
Right. It's fun.
It is. And it's been fun having you back, Randy. Like, oh my goodness. Like an hour has already flown by and I'm just like,
I know, it's crazy.
So the new book that's coming out, one more last call for it. So what's it called?
It's called Woofy Says Goodbye. And you can pre-order it now on Amazon. Officially releases August 11th. And not only will you be supporting me, but my kid loves hearing all the feedback from his art in the books as well.
I love it that you have your son involved. Like I think that's really cool.
I love that he can draw, so I can capitalize on that. I just wish I got a discount on the drawings.
Well, he needs his royalties too, Mom. Like,
I know, but isn't his royalty the roof over his head and the food in his stomach? Doesn't that count for something?
Right? But that's not how it works, right? So
I know. Like, well, he usually buys video games with it, so whatever.
Oh, well, that's cool. Well, thanks again. Hard. Thanks again, Randy, for joining me. It was a real pleasure. Thank you, Kara, for jumping in on YouTube, Instagram, and all of that. Thank you to all the viewers on Instagram. Miss Liz is starting to bring tea time onto Instagram. I think this is my seventh show on Instagram. I want to thank all of you guys who tuned in and supported Miss Liz tonight. Without all of you guys, I could not do this. Again, if you'd like to know more about tea times or catch any of these tea times on a replay, just push hashtag replay. They're all on the YouTube channel on every single podcast platform out there. And they are also on 3 radio stations, so you can check that out as well. Miss Liz gets us out there and we spill a messy tea. So I will be back next Thursday, same time, same place, with 2 more TEAs, and we'll see what difference we can make by bringing awareness to you all.